Hello, listeners, watchers, and fans of the SDR Disco Call Show. If you've stumbled across this show, or if you're a returning listener and watcher, this show is all about sales development. And my role as a host is to introduce you to interesting and exciting people in the world of tech sales, specifically around sales development or biz dev, where we're looking to prospect and book those meetings, right? But what's really interesting is learning how did these people get into this industry? What have they learned? What insights can they share to help you in your sales journey? And if you're listening to this in your local podcast platform, please make sure that you give us a rating and share it with anybody that you think could find benefit from this. And equally, if you're watching this on our YouTube channel, please make sure that you like, comment, and subscribe down below. Now, with this interesting person that we've got on the show today, as the story goes, I'm forever prospecting, always be prospecting, right? And I prospected this person, told them what we're doing, and said, would you like to come on board? And they said, hell to the yes, and they're here. So guests, without further ado, can you introduce yourself? Who are you, sir?
Cool. Thank you, Neil, for having me. Hello to the listeners and everybody watching. So my name is Sherif Shahan, and I'm currently working as a enterprise SDR at Deel. For those who don't know Deel, we are actually the fastest growing SaaS company in the world. And we help people hire or companies hire people from anywhere in the world. So payroll, compliance, onboarding, and those kind of things.
Thank you so much, Sherif, and welcome aboard. That was a strong introduction, dude, not going to lie. And where are you? So I know you're not normally where you are in the world, but where are you normally based in the world, Sherif, for our listeners and watchers?
So I'm originally based out of Sweden. Stockholm, Sweden. But since we work remotely, I try to take advantage of that. And I'm currently in Thailand, actually working.
Wow.
So yeah, I'm on the other side of the globe. But yeah, it's fun.
I love that. So that's a cool. So again, with Deel, know quite a few people from there, like Holly Allen, etc. And I always see it on LinkedIn that you guys are forever going cool places, man. Like yeah. Somebody might be in Bali or in Thailand, and you know, I freaking love that. Yeah. And you know, outside of sales, Sherif, what kind of like interests you? What hobbies, topics, and things do you get up to outside of sales, Sherif?
So I would say I'm a pretty regular guy. I do normal stuff. So I watch football. I love watching football, which is soccer for our American friends.
Mm-hmm. About to ask. Good point.
Yeah, so football, and I work out when I can, obviously, and then I'm married, so I try to spend time with my wife, and yeah, I love to watch like conspiracy things. I love to, I'm really into, I've started reading books now, so, you know, trying to do different things like and learn on a daily basis something new. But the majority is obviously, you know, sales is my my passion, specifically cold calling. I think we'll tap into that more.
100%. Love that. Thank you so much, Sherif. So I've learned a couple of new things there as well. So we've got kind of one of the sales elite within us right now. No conspiracy theories right now. Yeah. But what we love to do, and as a reminder for people that are watching this on our YouTube channel, we're going to visit Sherif's LinkedIn profile in a minute. But also as a reminder, with all of the guests that we bring on board, we'll always provide their LinkedIn profiles within the show notes. So if you want to connect with our guests, you want to pick their brain, or you just want to give them some kudos from things that you've learned on this episode today, I highly encourage you to do so. But Sherif, checking out your LinkedIn profile, as you kind of alluded to, something that caught my attention when I was prospecting is you're somebody that's very passionate about cold calling. And you provide a lot of LinkedIn content and posts around best practices, you know, lessons learned, kind of things that you've gone through. And I think with recent, and again, I don't want to go into headlines or conspiracies, but the main topic I'm seeing on LinkedIn at the moment is, you know, Google putting some limitations on emails and people now going back to cold calling. So maybe this is coming at a great time.
Yeah,
we'll dive into that piece shortly. But, you know, looking in terms of your experience, you've had a breadth of experience working in different places. So, you know, you've been a telemarketer, you've been a marketing intern, you've worked in business development, you've, you know, been at Deel for the last year and a half or so, and you've done some really great things. But for our listeners and watchers, if we can kind of go back to the beginning of how did Sherif, you know, originally get into sales, and how did you get to where you are today, sir? What's the story there?
Yeah, it's actually quite interesting a beginning, because when I started in sales, I was just 18 years old. I was looking for a job, and it was basically the only job that actually accepted people without any experience. You just had to be able to speak the local language, and then you could be hired. So I took a telemarketing job just because it was the only thing available at that time for me. And I was also planning to study university, maybe a year later or whatever. But, when I started working with telemarketing, which was basically, as a telemarketer, the only thing you're doing is cold calling. So you don't have or LinkedIn or whatever. You just have an automatic dialer that will dial numbers for you, and you'll just try to make those calls. It's not booking meetings, it's selling stuff, because we were B2C also. So from that point, I actually found some interest in sales generally, because I realized that it's a profession where you can actually yourself influence how much you earn and how much work you want to and effort you want to put into what you're doing. But also this thing with conveying people and persuading them through the phone, I thought it was very, I was amazed by it. And then I watched the movie Wolf of Wall Street, I think.
Jordan Belfort, yeah.
Yeah. And then I found, like, hey, this is actually a thing. People made a lot of money back in the days. It was not 100% legal, but still things that were working. And then from there, it just became a natural thing. Like, I want to continue with the sales. I started studying sales on an academic level as well, and marketing and international sales. And then obviously, as a student, you had a couple of part-time jobs, and they were all in sales, luckily. So I was gaining a theoretical background as well as real life experience. So yeah, from there, then finished my studies, COVID hit, I was fired, and then I had to look for another job. And then it was basically another sales job, but mainly cold calling as well. So I went there. And then, from there, I've just been all around the place, it feels like. But yeah, for the last year and a half, I've been at Deel as a SDR for the Nordics. And yeah, it feels like I've done a lot for the past couple of years, but
Yeah.
I've still so much to do and learn. In the future. So yeah.
I love that. And there's some definite points that I kind of want to pick apart because you've said some interesting things there, some which remind me of kind of where I've come from in terms of my early selling days. But I think the first term you used was telemarketing, right? So I think, truth be told, within the tech sales industry, this term isn't used as much anymore, especially within tech and startups, right? And there are a lot of people where I come across on LinkedIn and I still see telemarketing or telesales as their job title. And I'm like, that's a little bit prehistoric, dude. That's like way back in the day. But could you, like you've alluded to, it's purely cold calling and selling the phone. Could you, for our listeners and watchers that may not be familiar with that term, what is the world of telemarketing? What did it mean to you? And what did that telemarketing life feel like, Sheree?
Yeah, so telemarketing is basically, for those who don't know, like, at least where I was working, they're basically selling products on behalf of companies to B2C, so like to consumers. So, as a telemarketer, when I was doing it, you had no prospecting, you had no follow-up in the sense that you send or connect with LinkedIn. It's purely you're calling people, you get the numbers automatically, and you get a script, and you're just making about, and I'm not exaggerating, but about 300 calls a day.
Jeez.
So, you're sitting for 8, 9 hours per day. You're just speaking to people on the phone, you're getting rejected, and you're getting some people are friendly, some aren't. So, I think with cold calling generally. But yeah, for me it was an interesting experience, because what I learned there, which I thought back then was just for that job, I've come to realize that what I learned as a cold caller, as a telemarketer, is actually one of the most important sales skills. so far for me. Till now, I book majority of my demos through cold calls. I connect with my prospects the best way through cold calls. When I'm out of pipeline, I want to book meetings. I have to jump into the dialer, sending 100 emails. Wouldn't get the same result as sending 100 cold calls or making a lot 100 cold calls.
Yeah.
So having that background, I think going into tech sales was just a pretty natural thing for me to keep continuing with what I've already learned.
I love that. Like that's blown my mind a little bit in terms of the volume that you're doing. And as you mentioned, it was like within a B2C market where you get the names, you get the numbers, you're not doing email follow-ups, you're not doing LinkedIn connections. The whole sales cycle in essence was on that call, right?
Yeah.
And I can only, you know, fathom speaking to potentially 300 people a day. You're going to learn a lot of conversational skills. You're going to learn about inclination, tonality. You can kind of hear it in their voice when they're getting into something and, you know, when they're trying to be like, no, I don't want anything to do with this, right? And you're probably going to face a shit ton of rejection going through that. So, and the reason why I bring this up, because it does kind of remind me back in my days of, I didn't do it to the volume you did, but when I first started telesales, I was doing $120 a day and my KPI was I had to book a minimum of 2 meetings for account managers to go off in the field and actually meet these people.
Yeah.
But I remember, you know, kind of sitting at my desk and just having this call list from Salesforce. So all we had was Eloqua leads, which for some might be now today Pardot or Marketo. So people that hit the website, the numbers and names come up. And every morning I'd refresh Salesforce and I'd just see a whole list of names and numbers. But I didn't do none of the LinkedIn stuff. I just saw a name. I just saw a number and it was shit scary. But I kind of got into the habit of enjoying it in the sense of I'd have my morning breakfast in gym. I'd sit down in, it was like a chicken farm. Like we had like, fenced in sort of boxes. Right. Yeah. And I'd have my little, I used to have a picture of a motorbike. It was a Honda CB600F, like it was a Honda Hornet. And that's my goal. That was my visualization. So every time I had the rejection, the call, that reminded me why I was doing what I was doing, right? But, you know, I kind of got into this thing of, I remember I used to see around with all my colleagues, like people were also scared. Some people were just veterans. They just did this for years. They were used to it. But I got into this habit of visualizing as if the person was in front of me. So I used to close my eyes. I used to sit up straight and I used to have a smile in my voice.
Yeah.
And what I used to look for was the horrible people. I used to love fucking with people that were really rude, right? Because it was just some excitement to the day because of the monotonous calling. And I kind of had this discussion with a rep the other day. I said, like, he was cold calling a VP of sales. And this guy allowed this rep to go for 8 to 6 minutes. They didn't book the meeting, but he was challenging the rep, saying, so what is it that you do? Why would that be interesting to me? And my rep was saying, so like, no, he was such a dick. I was like, no, he was in essence toying with you, but he gave you a chance, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, that falling in love with the art of it. But then kind of when I left that job and I went into my first startup, it was a different, and I'd love to hear your opinion on this. It was a different world shift because I wasn't doing call lists to that extent, but it was maybe 20 to 40 people a day. But there was the email follow-up. There was the LinkedIn connection. There was the warm intro and stuff like that. And what skills do you feel that you took from telemarketing now serves you well within SDRing?
I think the most important thing I learned from my background as a telemarketer was the resilience part, because it's a mentally hard job to be able to execute on a daily basis. A lot of people give up. So, you know, coming from that hardcore background and then going into a more tech sales where you have a bit more professional, you have a LinkedIn, you have emails, it's not as demanding mentally, at least, as the telemarketing job was. I think that's why when I entered tech sales and sales development, it felt like, okay, this is nice because now I can also work with quality. I don't have to make 300 dials a day to hit my target. I can build relationships. the people I speak to can actually see me. I can connect with them. I can have, you know, can book discovery meetings with them. So it became more like I enjoyed coming from that hardcore background into tech sales, because it was completely, like, dynamic was different, but it kind of required the same mentality. You will be rejected. You will be, people will hang up on you. You will have hard times, but you just have to do what you know works best and just keep going. So yeah, I think the shift was pretty easy for me, because I had that hardcore background, but I obviously had to adapt to a more strategic rep. I have to think more long term. I had to be more professional, obviously, because I represent a company now. They can see me. They can visit my LinkedIn profile.
So. You're a real person.
Telemarketing, it was a bit, because it felt like you weren't a real person. We even had like fake names. So not calling, saying, my name is Sheriff. You're using some other name. Whereas in tech sales, it was different. So,
I love it. Thank you for sharing that insight. And it does make me think, because I get a lot of, you know, we can get some cold calls where I can hear somebody from another country with, you know, a perhaps different cultural background, and they're saying their name is John. And I'm like, is your name John?
Yeah.
Doesn't sound like a John, but then again, anybody can be called John, and not to like peg that on there. But yeah, going into that, having the scripts and reading. And I think, you know, with a lot of reps that I meet nowadays where they're like, I need to get this script on point. I need to have this open. I need to have all of these things. And I'm like, scripts are cool, but they remind me back of my days of my telemarketing. Like, this is what the sales leader said we had to say.
Yeah.
We can't deviate from the script. And I'm like, I don't really like scripts. I like prompts, and then not having to look at that script, right? But again, we'll dive into cold calling best practice from yourself, because I definitely want to hear those and help our listeners. But another thing that interested me that you said was, you know, you were studying sales. Right. So you watch things like The Wolf of Wall Street with Jordan Belfort's like persona, and you're reading things like that. So I think there's a lot of people that come into this industry and they may ask, what should I be reading? What should I be listening? Or how would you position studying for sales, and what kind of resources helped you, Sharif?
So it's basically trying to understand the human behavior, psychology, sales techniques, sales methodologies. I think that's what I meant when I said studied sales. And I was like, I have a bachelor's degree in international sales and marketing. So it was more like industrial sales and marketing, not really tech. So the things I learned there, the majority of it wasn't really related to what I'm doing today.
Mm.
But some sources, like some books I read, some techniques I learned, spin selling, for example, how to break into major accounts. I think that has come to usage now in my position right now. But it's really about, you know, the psychology behind sales, like how to speak to people, how to approach them, how to adapt. There was one book I read while I was a telemarketer, because obviously the only thing you had was, you know, you're speaking to them on the phone. So it was very important for us to understand how to approach the people we speak, where you get to learn a little bit about the different people or four colors of people, and how to identify them, as well as how to approach them and speak to them. So, you know, these books and these techniques have taught me how to actually be very adaptable with my prospects. Like, when I speak to someone, like, I can book meetings and I sound like I don't know, I'm a co-founder of a company, whereas some demos I book, I sound very, I would not say silly, but very informal, and it's because the prospect I'm speaking to gives me the same vibe. So it's all about this adaptability, and I've learned that obviously from experience, but as well from reading and studying psychology. So,
and I like that you hit upon that, you know, the psychological element to this, because and you know, also alluding to like mirroring people. So you tend to mirror the type of people that you speak to, right, within sales and in life in general. So like, sometimes people ask me, like, Neil, that people that don't work in sales, like, what do you do for work? And I always have to kind of think of tailor my response to that. So for some people, I'm like, I'm a sales therapist, For some people, I'm a sales trainer. For some people, I say I'm a sales coach. And for some people, that when I'm talking to, depending on the environment, so sometimes it could be within music. So I also work in music.
Yeah.
And sometimes I say I study people is my job.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So if we look at as a sales coach, I need to kind of analyze the type of personality of the person that I'm coaching. Is this somebody that maybe is lacking confidence? They're feeling a bit introverted. Or is this somebody who's like a high performer? They're very extroverted and they have black and white thinking.
Yeah.
And equally, like back in the days of sales cycles, I need to kind of peg, like psychoanalyze my prospects.
Yeah.
You know, is this VP of sales, like, what is this person's agenda? What are they looking to get? Are they qualifying me?
Yeah.
And all of these things. But then it kind of bleeds into friends and family and discussion. So I'm forever just watching people. And I'm very interested in people. So kind of the advice that I've given to some SDRs is, okay, we need a sales process. We need a methodology. We've got a solution, but focus on the conversation and how that person's speaking. Like, what are you hearing back with your active listening? And, you know, if I'm doing a cold call review where they bring the recording to the coaching session, I'll sit there with a rep and I will sit there because I'm closing my eyes and I'm studying what I'm listening to and hearing.
Yeah.
And my rep said, oh, he's just being a dick. And I'm like, I don't think he's being a dick. I think what he's doing is he's toying with you, but he's allowing it, he's enjoying it. And it's the study of people and behaviors. So if you expose yourself to hundreds, if not thousands of people, like you did 300 people a day, you're going to learn characteristics and things that make people tick. That makes you a great conversationalist, but equally somebody to do transactional business with and do closing deals, because you get the person. So I'm like, focus on the human on the other side, because there is that saying of people buy from people. But what's your thoughts on the psychology and the, you know, the psyche within sales and that conversation going on, Sharif?
I mean, I'm fully aligned on what you say here, and you know, it's all about this. It's very cliche, obviously, people buy from people, but it's still very true. Like, you know, you're doing business with companies, obviously, but it's still people that you're talking to. And all the best sales reps I've spoken to, when I asked them for advice, they like, just make them like you. That's so important. Like, you have to adapt to the person you're speaking to, and in order to be able to do that, you have to learn how does the human mind work, and how do they respond to certain things, and how do they what kind of, like, people trust people that are alike to. So adapting your tonality, your jargon, how you speak, what you say, is crucial for success in sales. And I think even more, like, especially cold calling, where you don't have any face, you just have your tonality as your body language, basically. Like, now we're sitting, you can see my body language, I can see you well, but in cold calls it's completely different. So I think it's very important to study basically the psychological aspect behind people to be able to sell to them.
Yeah, 100%. And like, there may be something like, oh, Neil, you guys sound a bit manipulative, right? Yeah. Using psychology to, like, but it is like truth be told, and as a lot of our listeners watch this now, I'm not really much of a reader, right? And I haven't really read many sales books or methodology, etc. It's based on the experiences of what I do. But like, for context, if you speak to people day in, day out, and you do this face-to-face or in your office, I'm always looking at how people's facial movements work, or their body language, if they're gesticulating and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So those are things, I don't know, maybe perhaps I'm on the spectrum, but I pick up on things that some people may not pick up on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's those things or mannerisms that when I was cold calling, I would try to imagine those things.
Yeah.
So if I heard somebody speaking a little bit low, maybe they're sounding like they don't know, they're concealed and hoed up.
Yeah.
But if they're really open up and they're talking like this, and I would try to imagine that within the call. So to your point, if you don't have that visual cue of that person speaking,
yeah.
And I know, apologies to everyone if we're going a bit deep into this, but this is something I'd love to kind of lock your horns with and understand how you see this.
Yeah.
But it's this, the experience of people. So like, for me, if I go onto a meeting with a prospect and I hear how they ask me questions or how they may object to something, if I then go into a Zoom meeting where I see a CEO doing a pitch deck and how they're talking and how they're commanding the message and the audience, if I'm hearing a rep where they've done a cold call and they've been recording their tonality of how they responded to a question or how they did it. I'm so curious and intrigued by hearing and watching those things that that's my sales book, watching the actual salespeople do it. I love studying that stuff. But what about you, Sharif? How does it sit with you?
I think I've done it unconsciously, and especially now in like even in my personal relations with family, friends, my wife, neighbors, whatever. Like just you know, when you say something, you look at how their facial expressions, how they react, basically with, and it's unconscious. That's why it's so important, because these signs are unconscious, so they're giving you hints on what they want or what they like or what they don't like, but they're not saying it, they're showing it unconsciously. And even cold calls, the tonality, like even the small mm-hmms and ahs when you're pitching, like if you could pick up on these things, I think those small details have made me sharper on my cold calls, just because I try to pick up on buying signals when they ask questions. Like that's a positive thing. I used to get nervous by getting asked, but now I embrace it. Like, hey, they're asking me, so there is some form of interest. So it's all about, you know, trying to analyze and adapt and learn how to approach people. I think that's key to success in sales.
I love that. Thank you for sharing, sir. And you know, coming back to your journey, and you know, like you said, COVID happened and then you got let go and then you kind of moved into Deel. What was that transition like for you between COVID, being let go, and joining Deel? What was that period of life like, Sharif, and what was going through your mind and what were you trying to evaluate work-wise?
Yeah, so I was studying for 3 years and I couldn't have a full-time job. So I was really looking forward to, you know, finish my studies and start working full-time. And I had two jobs at that, at my last semester of my studies. But then when COVID hit, I was let go by both of them. So I, you know, new and freshly graduated and I had no job. I had to look for a new one. So I joined, and the thing is, I was always like, I knew that I would manage it because I know I have the experience. I know the cold calling especially, and I'm very like obvious with it. I love cold calling, and I'm not just saying because managers like to hear it, it's because I actually enjoy it. So I knew that I would find something. So I found a job. I learned a lot from there as well. But it wasn't really, I felt like I was a bit overqualified, to be honest, because of my experience. But it was the best thing for me at that moment. And then I was actively looking for an SDR job because that was the job I was promised to get after I finished my studies before COVID. So SDRs, like I aimed to be an SDR and I was actively looking until I found one at the Danish tech company, and that's where I got into a purely sales development position, right? And then from there, a couple of months, was almost a year, and then I went into Deel. So you know, when I came into Deel, I had the SDR experience along with cold calling and some marketing background and all this kind of stuff. So I think it was a perfect match. And Deel at that moment in the Nordics was just starting in the Nordics. So I think it was a good match to for me to join, because I really like set these, like built the brand kind of with my cold calls and speaking to highly relevant prospects and stuff. So yeah, I don't know if that was answered your question. It feels like the place, but
it did. It's a nice journey of, you know, being, like you said, being let go by those two jobs post COVID, you know, but you knew that you have great skills that are going to aid you within your sales role. But like they said, they gave you the promise of being an SDR, but obviously that didn't come about.
Yeah.
So you then had your target of securing that SDR role. So you knew where you wanted to go.
Yeah.
And coming across the company that aligned with your skill sets that could benefit joining that company at that time. And sounds like it was a great Deel, pun intended, right? So yeah, I think that's beautiful to hear as well. And I know a lot of our listeners and watchers of Bruce and Neil, like, just get into the cold calling bit. We will get into that because I want you to be able to help our listeners to become a cold calling master. But obviously, I like to do a little bit of a tease, Sharif. I like to, you know, just warm up this conversation a little bit. So I think I've got a really big question that's been burning in the back of my head, and I've been meaning to write a LinkedIn post about this.
Okay.
But I think here is an opportunity for me to share my thoughts around cold calling.
Okay.
And then get your opinion on this from somebody who's a cold calling master. Would that be fair?
Fair. Shoot me.
All right. So there's lots of LinkedIn influencers and gurus and people telling people what to do with cold calling. And I just see cold calling everywhere. Everyone's just saying cold calling hashtag.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the part of me psychologically is thinking it's just calling. Why do we keep calling it cold calling? And then it makes me think as a coach, is it because of the word cold placed into this for new reps that brings the fear and the scares to it? Because going back to our tele sales or marketing days, we didn't call it cold calling. We just called it call lists.
Okay.
So I never heard the term cold calling until I started getting into tech sales.
Mm-hmm.
And I think where I see LinkedIn influencers or gurus or, you know, just people in general, let's just call them people for the sake of it, right? Talking about cold calling, I'm wondering, does this cause the anxiety and fear and put the pressure on? Because if I just said, let's just imagine we never heard the word cold calling in our life.
Yeah.
And I had a brand new SDR and I just said, you're just going to be calling people. You're going to have telephone numbers. You're going to try to speak to them. You may have never spoken to them before, but it's just a call. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, is that a mindset we could instill in ourselves before we pick up the phone, or am I waffling on, Sharif? What are your thoughts, dude?
To be honest, I don't think the terminology would make such a difference, because I think it's all about the calling, the action itself, calling people, interrupting them, whether it's like, even when you see with people working with inbound leads that have shown interest, they would not try to call them, but instead reach out through email or LinkedIn or whatever. So I think it's not really about the cold part. I mean, we can remove it. We can call it calling or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's about this. You're calling someone that is not really expecting your call. And I think that's where the anxiety comes from, that you're interrupting somebody's day.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, maybe we'll touch upon that, but it's just part of the game. You will feel that. I'll feel it every morning. Like, hey, I feel a bit anxious about calling somebody randomly, but I just, because I've done it so many times, I'll just do it, and it disappears as soon as you have that first interaction and a conversation. It just fades away, and then you're suddenly in the mood of hitting the dialer. So,
yeah. I love that, and thank you for sharing the perspective on there, because I'm always trying to look at ways of, you know, reducing that anxiety. And I don't know. It was just, I think it's because coming from that background of the telesales.
Yeah.
Like when I became an SDR manager and I said, okay, you need to call these like prospects and reach out to them and stuff. They said, but to your point, oh, we're going to interrupt the day. What happens if they tell me to piss off? And, you know, what happens if I get in trouble? I'm like, dude, you're just calling people. It's just like not the end of the world. But it was because of my mindset where I've come from. But for them, they'd never done it before.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think, I've had hundreds, thousands of conversations about, you know, just don't worry, it's just calling people. But why don't we dive into this point of, you know, cold calling best practices? So rather than me just sharing the question, I just wanted to hand it over to you, Sharif. Like, what? Let's segment it. Okay, what makes a great cold call? Then how would you structure a cold call?
Yeah.
And what advice would you give to somebody that's just about to pick up the phone today? They're listening to this episode before they're going into the office. What advice would you give them? Could we answer those topics?
Yeah, let's take it in order. So the first thing was, what makes a great cold
call? Cold call, yeah.
So for me personally, after my 7 years of cold calling, I think the ultimate goal of calling somebody is not to make a sale or book a meeting. It's more of having a conversation, to be honest. If you interrupt somebody and they're not expecting a call and you still manage to have a 3-4 minute conversation, I think that's a success.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I measure my success, because booking a meeting is more about if there is a fit or not, if you really could help or not. And that's something, that's another part of, you know, a cold call, but just having a conversation, I think that's what makes, I mean, if you aim to have conversations, that's when you'll see the results coming in, and you'll book a lot of meetings and bring a lot of revenue to your company. So yeah, I don't know, like, if you were aiming at specific tips or tricks, but just how to measure a success, I would say it's by, did you have a conversation? Did you manage to get through the first, I'm not interested or not, and really present and say why you actually call, or were you rejected just from the beginning?
I think there's some solid advice. And I would agree with you, because someone put on LinkedIn yesterday, I'm the only SDR of my own lead generation company, and I'm having to do cold calls. And he put three things that he's actively doing to make these really good cold calls, like the numbers, getting everything ready. Yeah. And I kind of chimed in, because my heart went out to this dude.
Yeah.
He called himself the youngest SDR on LinkedIn at the moment. So it got my heart. And my kind of three tips was to him was, you know, having the smile in your face with the tonality. Make sure you're sitting up straight, or make sure you walk around as you're doing the call so your conversation flows better.
Yeah.
And where he was saying that he needs to do X amount of dials, I said, rather than the number of the dials, see how long you can keep the conversation going.
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, as a former SDR manager, where some people you say you need to do 100 dials, I said, I'd rather have, yeah, but 100 dials, if they're all lasting 30 seconds to less than a minute, then that's not a conversation, right?
No.
But if they're averaging, you know, 30 to 40 calls and averaging between 3 to 5 minutes, that means you've actually had a chat and discussion with that person. And the last, you know, tip that I gave this person was, make sure you just repeat back what you've heard from that person before you dive into the next question.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So then it displays, you know, active listening. So I think that does give us a good understanding of what is a good cold call. And in your own way, Sharif, how do you structure a cold call today?
Yeah, so I'm, you know, obviously the first 10, 15 seconds are the most important ones. They are the ones that will, you know, make it or break it, basically. If you have a good opener, that you sound professional, you sound upfront, you sound respectful of their time, I think that's where you'll earn the right to pitch, basically. So I try to nail the opener. That's like my goal. First 15-20 seconds, nail the opener. And actually, like, let's put it like this. I have an analogy I always use, and it is, when you're calling somebody, cold call, when you're calling someone unexpected, it's like breaking into someone's house, basically.
Yeah.
That's the defense trigger that's triggered in their mind. Like, hey, why is this person calling me? So they're always like this, right? Like, with their guard up, they're like, their hands up, they're ready to fight you. So the first 15 seconds, I want to lower their guard and make sure that I get the opportunity to pitch. So I have a very, like, I think my LinkedIn, I've posted a couple of times, but very upfront, straight, easy opener. And then I go into pitching, right? And pitching is the reason for the call, why I actually call the person. And here I don't go like pitching my product, because I think that's not working anymore. It's more of pitching the problem or dealing with the problem. So trying to be relevant from the get-go. So if I'm calling somebody, I wanna make sure, like, the first sentence that I say in my pitch resonates with them. So it's always about, you know, preparing and seeing how you can help them, and kind of pitching the potential problem they might have from what you already know.
Yeah.
And from there, you know, then the call goes like right and left and back and forth, because that's where you have the conversation. You ask questions, they come with their objections, you ask for the meeting. So, you know, that's basically how I structure my calls. And there is a formal way of doing it, like, you know, but I don't think there is any cold call that follows that line. So try to know the opener and the pitch, and I think the rest is just a natural thing.
It's a natural conversation, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. And given what's going on in the world at the moment, right, there is a forever a debate on LinkedIn, you know, cold calling is dead, or cold calling isn't dead, or email is dead, or this isn't dead, you know, with the whole Google thing happening at the minute.
Yeah.
What is it like doing cold calling for you right now? Like, what is the reception from your prospects when you try to speak to them and cold call them? What are the typical responses given the current climate and the world is going at the minute? How are people receiving your cold calls at the mission? What's that experience like?
I think people, I mean, obviously there will be people that will reject you and be very rude, but I mean, the majority are actually very receptive. They appreciate your call. They, I mean, they don't ask how did you get my number that often. I think they're fully aware that, hey, we 2023, we have technology that we can get that. So yeah. The majority is actually pretty friendly, and they appreciate, especially when you can teach them something or educate them about something, or tell them about the, like, remind them of a potential problem they might have. So, you know, it's about giving value. When you call somebody, if you don't book a meeting, if you provide any form of value, they'll appreciate it. And, you know, I think having that connection, building that connection is essential for ultimately generating revenue, is building that trust, having that initial conversation. And you as an SDR in sales development, you're giving them the first impression of the whole company. So
yeah,
I think it's much more professional to have a real conversation than to just behind emails. And I'm not against emails, and just want to make this clear for everyone listening. I'm not against emails and LinkedIn. I think it's a great way to interact with potential customers. But if you really want to learn, if you really want to perform, if you really want to make sure that you're booking well-qualified meetings, I think the phone is your way to go.
I love that, dude. Thank you for sharing. And you're right, like, calling is the quickest way to get through to somebody, right? So many a time, even in personal or business life, if I find myself writing the email and it takes me about 10, 15 minutes, I actually just say, forget this. I'm just going to give them a call, because it's just easier to get through, right? And if I'm making plans with my friends and family, they always know Neil's the caller and I'm not really the texter as much.
Yeah.
But equally on the other side, I've learned that some people prefer different channels of being contacted. So I think a tip that I kind of express when you get on a cold call, when you're coming up with those next steps or securing those next steps, it's cool to actually ask the prospect, hey, what is your preferred communication method? Some people actually like a follow-up on a phone, or they want an email, or actually they don't want their company knowing we're talking right now, so they want it in the LinkedIn DMs.
Yeah.
So I think that's a good question to ask. But as, you know, working with lots of SDRs, having a multi-channel approach, which incorporates calling, emailing, LinkedIn. And what we may find, you know, over the course of a year, some channels work better than others. Oh, you know, some people may not be up for calling, but, you know, a couple of months later, everybody just prefers a call because they're being inundated with DMs and emails popping off and everything like that. Like, dude, when I open my inbox, because people try to prospect me, I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
Okay. But in terms of, for our listeners and watchers who are predominantly new to tech sales, right, let's just imagine we've got this rep. They've woken up in the morning, they've done their breakfast, they're heading to work, they're listening to this show on their commute, and they're like, dang, I need to do some cold calls today, and yesterday wasn't that great. What advice would you give to that rep to help them in their cold calling in the morning or in the afternoon, whenever they're doing it?
So it mainly, like, it's okay to feel or to have that anxiety. I think many people, just because they have that feeling, think like, hey, they're an outlier or something. But it's calm. It's okay to feel anxiety over cold calling. And, you know, Nike's slogan, just do it.
Just do it. Yeah.
I think it's so, like, on point, like, just do it. What could happen? Worst case, you'll be hanged up on. But the best case scenario, you'll book a meeting that will generate revenue. You can get promoted. Like, you know, there's the reward is so big compared to the risk. So just do it, and make sure you're prepared as well. I mean, don't just call for the sake of calling. Make some research. Don't have to spend like half an hour per prospect, but at least have some background information before you're calling.
Mm-hmm.
And try to have a conversation. Like, you're a human being, they're a human being. Try to be respectful of their time. And, you know, as I said, just do it. I think it's the easiest way to summarize this.
I love that. And, you know, it kind of reminds me again on that mindset and anxiety. It's cool to feel unnerved by, right? That's just normal. Otherwise, you wouldn't be human, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But I watched this really cool video from Alex Hormozi on TikTok the other day, and he was kind of talking about cold calling.
Mm-hmm.
And imagine, so he's walking in a hallway with lots of different doors, and he's knocking on the door. So he knocks on the door and he says, "Hi, I'm Alex. I'm trying to introduce you to this company." And the guy shuts the door in his face. Mm-hmm. And Alec pauses and he looks back at the camera and he said, "Okay, so just what happened?" He said, "I just got rejected, right?" He said, "But am I any poorer than I was before I knocked that door? Have I just lost any money?" "No." And he says, "So what do? I just go to the next door." And I think that's the mindset of, okay, even if you get told to piss off and rejected, you're not going to lose any money from doing that cold call. But he then said, imagine if you do go to the door and the person is interested, guess what? You make more money.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're not actually going to lose anything other than maybe your pride and ego for a couple of seconds. But, you know, you can't have everyone, right?
Yeah. And even with pride and ego, I mean, now I have the mindset of if they're shutting me down and they're not willing to listen, they're the ones losing. Because I actually, and it comes back to your belief in what you're selling and that kind of stuff. But when you call someone and you know you can provide value, and they don't want to listen, you're like, hey, you're the one losing, not me, because I could help you, but you're stupid enough, so you don't want to listen.
You know, it's their loss.
Yeah, it's their loss. It's about this, and it's a mental game. To be honest, cold calling is all about mentality. How many rejections you can get but still keep going, how many calls you're willing to make. And, you know, this debate about quality, quantity, I think you need to in order to get to quality, you need to make some quantity. As well, you get to quality through quantity. So you need to make a certain amount of calls to get a certain amount of meetings or sales or whatever. So yeah, I completely echo that analogy. And I have a similar one, but maybe it's not too appropriate here on this
podcast. Well, share that with me in the DMs after this one.
Yeah.
But, you know, to your point of value, I've probably got a lot of listeners and watchers sitting there like, dude, I wish I could just get some time with Sharif and just, you know, talk about this cold calling thing or learn, you know, best practices for somebody that's been doing it 7 years and a vet in the game. So what I'm happy to share with the audience, and again, if you're watching this on YouTube, going on to Sharif's LinkedIn profile, as you can see, he has a link where he's got something saying, become a cold calling master.
Yep.
So Sharif, people are able to book in time to learn your best practices, your experiences to help them succeed in cold calling. Definitely. Is that right, firstly?
Yeah. I mean, it's a tailored one-on-one session. You have to answer a couple of questions so I can tailor it based on your experience, your needs, and where you are, where you feel like you're stuck in order to help you. And I've written it there as well. It's not a magic pill. You still have to do the work, but I can equip you with some advice that I would appreciate in my early days as a telemarketer or SDR.
I love that. So for our guests, listeners, watchers, I'll be putting the link into Sharif's service where you can book in time with him to get some best practices and help on your cold calling. And I like that point that you put on, you want to tailor it for them so that when you give them that advice, it's not just generic.
No,
here's a script that you just need to use and go and do that. And just for transparency, I don't get any affiliation or money or anything from this. I just want to help out our listeners and help out Sharif by providing this service. So we'll put that in the show notes and links for you to click and review. All right. But Sharif, it's been, you know, an absolute ball having you on the show. So my question to you, sir, is imagine there's this young Sharif who's just about to embark on this life of SDRing, cold calling, getting rejected and all that sort of stuff. What three bits of advice would you give to that person to help them on their journey?
First thing, and I still remind myself of this today, is focus on what is controllable. So watch on the input you can do. Don't focus on the outcome. Focus on what you can control, basically. The results will eventually fall in. The second thing is find yourself a routine, a system. In sales, especially, can get very chaotic sometimes. So find yourself a routine, a system. Yeah. Have like some form of systematic approach to your work in the long term that will benefit you a lot. And the third thing, I'm trying to think here as 18 years old. If you do it right, and this might be some, not the tips, but some kind of motivation, but if you do sales right, you'll earn a lot of money. So, I mean, it's really a profession. It's a corporate job, but the I mean, the level of how much you can earn and the people you can connect with and the things you can earn is unlimited. So if you really want to influence your own income and your own network and wealth, and you don't have an idea of building a multi-billion dollar company, go into sales. You'll learn a lot, and you'll earn a lot of money. So yeah, I think it was more than 3 points, but
but three valid points. And also, you get to travel to places like Thailand and work remotely and work for a really cool company like Deel, right? Again, I'm not paid by Deel for saying that. But last but not least, in terms of gratitude, like, are there any shout outs or kudos that you'd like to give out on today's show, Sharif?
So I don't want to name people so I don't forget others, but I think the people that I work close with, especially at Deel, like managers and peers, and also some LinkedIn friends, to be honest, that I've connected with, I've learned a lot of them, and we've shared and learned from each other a lot. I think that would be fine. I don't want to name people so I don't forget anybody else. So yeah.
No worries. Thank you very much. And also, I want to say a massive thank you to our listeners, watchers, and subscribers for joining us on today's On Sharif's Journey and interesting insights and tips that you just got on Nuggets for Cold Calling. As a gentle reminder, you'll find Sharif's LinkedIn profile links, as well as his cold calling help and best practices, within the show notes and in the comments as well. And a gentle reminder, if you could please give us a rating on our local podcast platform and share it with anybody that you think could benefit from today's episode. And equally on our YouTube page, please make sure that you like, comment, and subscribe down below. But Sharif, it's been an absolute pleasure meeting a cold calling master. I appreciate your time, sir. Yeah. And most importantly, happy selling.
Thank you. Yeah, it was a blast for coming.
Thank you for listening to the SDR Disco Call podcast today. We would like to get this message out to more and more sales development reps, so please like, comment, and share in your local podcast provider. If you don't want to miss a show, you can always send a blank email to SDRDiscoCall@bcast, which is bcast.email, and you'll be added to our mailing list. We're also on the lookout for new guests, so if you work in the world of sales development as an SDR, BDR, MDR, or ADR, and feel that you have an important message or story to share, feel free to email us at podcast@happyselling.io, and we'd love to have you on board.